is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open the word of truth to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. All right, let's take the customary time to be sure that we are acclimated to the second adjustment to God, the rebound adjustment, by having ourselves in fellowship and focused on the information that is God has preserved for our orientation and edification. Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here and to have spiritual light so that we can operate in the present darkness and overcome the evil that is in the world in every form that it takes. Bless this Bible class to that end, in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 7, we continue with the topic of creation. It is a big subject in the Bible, obviously. It's what starts off the Bible, the subject of creation. And so what we're moving forward here, and the things that have happened in the course of the history of the creation, the two floods, obviously, were momentous events, even though humans weren't here for the first one, but they were for the second, and the entire human race was depopulated down to 8 people, and this is where we're at today. The creation will undergo more trauma, obviously, and is, but will in the tribulation period. But this jumps ahead to creation one, the original creation, and its cessation. But by his word, logos, God's word, the present heavens, the word present is the adverb, the now heavens, the present heavens, it is in the plural, and earth, singular, are being reserved for fire. Are being reserved, present active indicative are, are being preserved. This word is a perfect passive participle. They saurizo. It means to store up something, and whatever it may be, or something is set aside. Here translated reserved for fire, the noun P-U-R, fire. Kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Kept is tereo, to keep something. Being kept for the day of judgment, krisis, which we get our word crisis. For the day of judgment and destruction, apolia means destruction of ungodly. It's the definite article with asabes. It can be translated ungodly, profane, and then the word men, the plural of anthropos. Point one. This verse should be entitled Creation's Preservation. I entitle it its cessation, but it is its preservation. Creation one is being preserved, being kept in place and intact. In verses 5 and 6, we have creation's past history. From its original creation to the great flood event. 3. In this verse, we have creation from the flood to the end of human history and the end of human history is beyond the millennium and the Gog and Magog revolution specified in the book of Revelation. The very end of human history. In the above verses, the omnipotence, Word of God, brought to pass original creation, dry land on D+3 of restoration, and the great flood. Here the emphasis is upon God's active preservation of His creation. You hear all these insane things of speculation about when is all of it going to come to an end, or they're just, this verse says it'll be preserved, period. It isn't going anywhere until the time is right. So the agent of preservation is said to be by His word, by His divine fiat proclamation. It is held together, kept in place in the form that we have now studied it in our doctrine of cosmology. The object is, as indicated by the words, the present heavens and earth. As we know, there are three heavens. Everything from the earth up to the dome. The dome is a heaven. Number two, and of course the throne room and all that real estate, the third heaven, heaven above. The adverb present is noon, meaning now. The now being reserved for a destiny or rendezvous. 10. The perfect passive participle being reserved is thesaurizo. It is found 8 times. It means to store up, lay up, store up. Here in verse 7. God, who by the word of His power brought the earth and the universe into existence, and who has guided it through the 6 days of restoration and the universal flood, continues that same all-powerful word to preserve the earth for its final destiny. So we know the future. Again, a prophetic statement about the end of Earth 1, its removal from the scene, in connection with what we shall see here in the verses to follow. God, who by His word of power spoke, willed, if you will, the earth into existence, and who has guided it through the days of restoration and the flood, continues by that same all-powerful word to preserve the earth for its final destiny. The final destiny is, again, being reserved for fire, a fire judgment. All right, point 13. More on that in verse 10. 14. The prophetic word tells us what and when the end will be. We are not left to speculation. We have a clear timeline from the startup of human history with D+1 of the restoration of our earth all the way down to the very end, not just the millennium, because there's an unspecified amount of time for the Gog and Magog event to occur, which basically in a nutshell is all the people who live in the millennium. If people were ever without excuse, all these people that lived in the blessed millennium, with a lot of the evils that plague humanity as I speak, wars, plagues, all these other events, they won't have to live with that. They won't have to live with unchecked crime, corrupt politicians, false religion. There won't be different types of religion. The earth will be cleansed in that sense, physically and spiritually. There will be no demon activity. Satan and his crowd will be in hell for the first time. They will be bumped off the earth at the second advent. So no one will be demon-possessed, or demons will be channeling stuff to negative volition. The truth of God's word will be universally broadcast like it isn't today. I saw that there has been a significant upswing in the United States of people purchasing hard copies of the Bible. It is, if you didn't know it, historically, the book that sells the most of any book that's out there, the Bible. But of course, it isn't going to do them any good unless they have somebody that, they can learn something from it, obviously, but not enough to put them in the right place as believers. There are people who have read the Bible and come to salvation. All you got to do is read John 3:16 and a few verses like that, and you can kind of put it together. Anyway, so again, the Word of God, the prophetic Word, tells us what and when the end will be. We are not left to speculation. We have a timeline. It is universally, I say, practically, rejected for the false teaching of evolutionary science. And all of it, and the Big Bang. Again, as I belabor the point, what the Bible teaches and what fake modern science teaches on so many subjects, but we're dealing with this one. What they are teaching and promoting all over the place, it's the exact opposite. The exact opposite. You couldn't make two things more different if you tried. Millions of years of evolution. Everything is created. Nothing creates everything eventually. We don't know that in our human experience. We see things and observe things, and we know that humans did that. People use their human intelligence and their talents and their training, and they made things. So we might say, so-and-so is the creator of that. Not creator in the sense God is, but in the sense of design and purpose and function. Or no one will buy it. No one will have anything to do with it. Even if it's subpar, people will catch on, and they'll either improve the product or it'll go by the wayside. So that's what we're taught in school. Nothing created everything. I do not exaggerate, because even in the theory of the Big Bang, something had to be there going on. And so it just self-existed, just popped up out of nowhere. That doesn't happen. The only way things can pop up out of nowhere is God speaking it into existence. But what we're dealing with, God is going to reverse the process and remove the present earth. We have nothing to fear as believers, obviously, when you get the details. I see these things online. Scientists think, and then I just duck. Most of the time, it's just junk science. All kinds of fancy words and names and everything to fool the masses. Many Christians have been given over to this because they didn't have a pastor or weren't under one that would teach them the right way to go. So, 15. In the meantime, the present heavens and earth are being kept, if you will, watched over. Who is? God, one of his attributes is he's everywhere at once. So his power and all of his essence is everywhere at once. As it says in one point of Acts, as one of your poets said, I think it's Paul speaking to somebody, as one of your poets said, he is not far from every one of us. Not far. He permeates all things. He's everywhere at once. There is a psalm dealing with, where could I go and God isn't there? Could I go down to the bottom of the deepest ocean? He'd be there. and everywhere in between. Because he is a spirit and he permeates infinity, endlessness. So he can exert his power in miracles, in anything he wants to do, and control history and move forward. And because if you're not grounded in the divine attributes, would you turn the thermostat down a couple notches, please? Thank you, Lenny. We'll get this right one of these days. I'm breaking another sweat. I'm just exaggerating. I'm just being silly. So, in the meantime, the presence, heavens and earth are being kept or watched over. You know, it's a very comforting thing to get up every day and see the chaos that's out there and all the evil and all the corruptions and all the threats and all the things that are going on, and know that the Lord, that God, controls human history. And nothing's going to happen until, if it's prophetic, then it's going to happen on his timeline and according to the way he wants it to happen. So, they can show you maps. Where's the best place to live in case of a nuclear war? In Christ. Be in Christ, and you won't have to be here to deal with doing an exodus out of America. He controls all of what goes on. The armies of the world, all of it. Yes, yeah, you know, and I've emphasized this over and over. God has a directive will. He has a permissive will. Why all this evil running amok? He permits it. And then he'll shut it down, called the overruling will. That's what the people at the flood learned the hard way. And they had 120 years of Noah building an ark. That's your teaching thing. That looks so stupid. And proclaiming the great flood and the only way of escape. The ark itself is a picture of positional sanctification, by the way, used typologically in the New Testament. Those that are in the ark are safe, and all this is raging around them. All these people and all these animals and everything being drowned. You know, it's people talk about the flood from time to time. It's in there. It's in people see stuff. You know, like I ended class talking about fossils. Oh, speaking of fossils, whenever they refer to, fossil fuel, that's a joke. Oil and gas isn't the result of dinosaurs falling over and dying. That is a belief system. Now, not every country believes it. But America has promoted it. I remember always seeing, I don't think they're an exhibit, they may be, I don't know. I haven't seen one around. They had Sinclair of stations with this a dinosaur up there, communicating that you're filling your car up with the remains of a dinosaur. No, God put all these minerals, scarce, and all of it in the crust of the earth. Oil, gas, and all the minerals. I read a thing that says, we think we found the biggest gold deal of all time. I'll have to read it this week. I just went on to the next thing. How to make a better pasta sauce. Some woman who's deceased had written a book, and she said, all you need is three things. Really good, high-quality canned tomatoes, half of a peeled onion, and butter. And throw it into one pan and just let it simmer. So you got a recipe, and it's free of charge. I haven't tried it. All right. The second participle, kept, is from the verb tereo, to guard, to preserve, or to keep. Within the doctrine of creation is the biblical affirmation that the Creator is actively sustaining his works via his invisible power over the laws or rules of nature. And speaking of Jesus Christ in particular, let's go to the second person of the Godhead before he became man. And when he was man in his humble state, his deity is still operative. It wasn't in any way reduced when Jesus was a baby or on a cross or died physically. And he said, the Father has given me all authority over everything. All authority. And if a person has authority, they got to back it up. Just to say you have authority and not be able to back it up, you know. Colossians 1:17, He, Christ, is before all things. That's His deity, breaking it down. And in Him, all things hold together. His deity. They stay attached. They say, and I'm sure there's certain laws involved in all, how all these things stay together. But everything is held together. And Hebrews 1:3, And He upholds all things by the word of His power. So occupation with Christ, you've heard me talk about it, haven't you? This is an area to be occupied with. He's got it all under control. If you're a positive believer, I don't care what you're going through. Good or bad, as they would say, he's got it under control. He isn't making mistakes. He isn't going, whoops. We do that. Because we're finite, make mistakes, bad judgment on certain things. Note the parallel between by His word of 2 Peter 3:6 and by the word of His power of Hebrews 1:3. Again, as I've said, you really got to get the doctrine of divine essence firmly set in your head. It's not, these are the 10 divine attributes. Can you name them? You say you know God. Can you name them without looking at your chart? The three O's, sovereignty, justice, eternal life, love, veracity, all of them. Omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. That's God as a spirit. God does not have a physical form. Well, excuse me. An interesting development occurred. When the third heaven was created, there is a father figure sitting on a throne. And he's the regular size of a regular man. He's not some who said to Jesus to sit at my right hand. So the Father took a form, a human form. But whenever the human form is taken, it doesn't reduce the otherwise divine essence factor. This is a great mystery, but it is what the Bible teaches. Nothing untoward will happen to our earth that will undermine God's eternal purposes for mankind. Again, these fear mongers or whatever they are say, "Oh, this is what's going to happen," and they'll blame humans. Humans, yes, humans could destroy a lot of things, but they're not going to be allowed to. Humans could destroy humanity because of their insanity and so forth. But Christ controls history. He's going to preserve the United States until her day of judgment. And that's after we're out of here by about 2+ years, by my calculation. So we're going to stumble along, and no, we're not going to have a massive nuclear attack. Because Babylon, the US of A, is going to continue to be this economic colossus, materialistic colossus, emphasizing and importing all this stuff from all these countries. Yeah, we produce some of our own stuff. In other words, we're not going to go into a deep, dark depression where everything is and chaos. There will be riots and crazy people, yes. We know that. As far as the earth is concerned, no, we're not going to destroy it. And we don't have to worry about a big meteorite hitting us. They do this all the time. Oh, it just went by us. Shut up. Dramatic events occasionally rock the earth. The flood, the tribulation. Oh, and there's some big stuff that'll rock the earth in the trib. The biggest earthquake ever. It'll destroy every capital city on earth. Like Paris. All those ancient cities. And they're all going to go down. The mountain ranges are going down. He's going to redo the topography of the earth just like he did at the flood. Like he did at the first flood and the second flood. Nobody, see, you got the Bible. That's the science you need. Now, we'll have questions about details. How is this going to work? Okay, fine. But dramatic events occasionally rock the earth. But the dependent earth will continue forward to her final destiny. How can this earth and this real estate be suspended in space? No problem. God holds it there. And it can't be moved. It can be rocked. It can be shook. There's a verse in the Old Testament that in the tribulation, it'll shake like a shack, a flimsy structure in the wind or something. And in the tribulation, people think this is the end. But it isn't. The earth will survive the tribulation, but she will be remodeled significantly in many, many ways with regard to the environment. There's a lot of prophecy dealing with different things, but we're not dealing with all that right now. We're just dealing with this general statement. So, the earth the earth has been ever since original creation kept for the day of judgment. A day of judgment. The day of judgment is a reference to the great white throne judgment. As you know, the great white throne judgment is the final judgment that God will inflict upon humanity. And unbelievers are involved in the last judgment. No believers. The description of this is found in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Now things you have, there's all these details, and they're important, the preceding verses, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. Again, more proof that Satan is going to be put in the slammer, in hell, with all these people he deceived, up to that date. The deceiver is going to be in hell. There's verses in Isaiah that talk about how he'll be received down there. I've done a lot of thinking about the afterlife for the unbeliever. Do they talk? If you were in such excruciating pain like fire, if you were doing anything, you'd be screaming. But there's some mystery involved here. Abraham talked to the rich man across the Gulf. And his complaint was that he was suffering extreme. See, he's down there in his soul. His body's buried back on earth. He's down there in his soul, and he is experiencing extreme thirst. He longs for just a drop of water on his tongue to give him some relief. Okay? I know that if I've eaten whatever and go to bed and go to sleep and get real thirsty, I have some pretty crazy dreams about drinking water. Like, no matter how much I put in my mouth, I'm still thirsty. So Revelation here 20:11, this is at this is after the Gog and Magog event. Satan will be released at the very end of the millennium. And he'll do the same old stuff. Deceive the nations. Give them a cause. Fill them full of a big lie. That this time, and he'll have a big propaganda thing. And he will come, and certain people he will use to foist this idea that I have overcome, and now we can overcome Jesus Christ on earth, blah, 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 blah. And so this thing will run for I don't know how many years. And it says a short season, a short time. So it's not like 100 years. It runs for a short time. And convincing these people that they can do the impossible. That they can, in mass, come up against the beloved city, Jerusalem, and overcome it and all the rest of it. He will convince them of the impossible. Even with this Bible having been proclaimed to them all over the earth for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. People will be exposed to divine viewpoint all over the earth as the population of the earth continues to expand. They are still, the natural people still need to be saved, right? They still need to rebound. They still need to make the maturity adjustment. But a lot of things that for us that require faith, they don't have to. They can see Jesus Christ right there. And people around them in resurrection bodies. And the superiority of that resurrection body to their natural bodies. So after the Gog and Magog affair, and it says that the number of the human race at that time will be... I don't think I can even wrap my head around it. The earth's population and the amount of people that can live on it and exist in the millennium is going to be mind-boggling. Whatever we have today, whatever the number is, 8 billion, I don't know, whatever, 6, 7, 8 billion world population. It says the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. They come up on the broad plain of the earth. You know what that tells me? Well, it tells me the earth is flat. Plains are flat, last time I checked. P-L-A-I-N-S. That's why we call it an airplane, because it flies over a plain. It's not an accident. We don't put some spherical name on it. And so they come up on the broad plain of the earth. Nations will not be divided by mountain ranges. All these things God did to keep people separate because they get into a lot of mischief. He's used topography and other events. Well, of course, the language barrier. On the camp of the saints. Now all this will become clear when we're there. And the beloved city and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. It's just that fast. They're turned to ashes. And their souls go to hell. They hardly get any time in the underworld of hell before they're brought out of it. Because after that, what we have here, by way of review, is the occupants of... And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is not the same as hell down deep in the earth. Wherever it is, and I don't know where it'll be located, it's a place called the lake of fire. It is reserved here, and it says, the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay. Now, John in his visionary experience, then I saw a great white throne. White is the symbol for righteousness. and it's suspended in space, if you will, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence heaven and earth fled away, and no place was found for them. There's another description of this as a fiery event. Here in this, a fiery event. Here, John's language is, the earth went away. I do have a few questions from time to time, but anyway. And I saw the dead. John's having a virtual reality experience. The theater of his mind. Like when God would give people visions, sometimes dreams. All this was like cinematically run through his head. Out there, he didn't go to heaven. He didn't see stuff external to him. It's like a dream, if I can use that, where you are involved in virtual reality, seeing the future. Yeah, the Apostle John. Out there on that island as a prisoner, persecuted. And he sat on it, whose presence, it simply here says, from whose presence heaven and earth fled away, and no place was found to them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, all classes of humanity, standing before the throne. That means that all unbelievers will be raised from the dead. Well, they have to be raised from the dead before the earth is taken out, or that would remove all their remains. In other words, creation in reverse. Bring something into existence and poof, take it out of existence. And those people in the Gog and Magog event, they just went down to hell and came right back up in their bodies. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So their judgment is based on a record. And then it goes back and says, and the sea, the ocean, gave up the dead which were in it. How many people have perished in water? And their remains scattered everywhere. Lots. Or people actually bury people at sea. I don't care if it's their ashes. I don't care if it's their whole body. It is all broken up and scattered everywhere. And God pulls all that together. And gives them the same body they had when they were on earth. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. That's where the souls are, Hades. And they were brought and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. In other words, your good deeds, I assume this is good deeds, because I have taught you that people are not, I repeat, people are not in hell because of the sins they committed on earth, which is almost universally the idea out there. And that is checkmated by the fact that Christ paid a price on the cross for sins, and under the law of double jeopardy, you can't charge someone with twice. Or looked at another way, that's why you and I get completely up, why those of us who believed in Christ get completely off the hook with regard to our past sins. Yes, we can get divine discipline in time and all that. But the fact is that they are judged according to their deeds. What is demonstrated is all of your deeds, all of your works, all of your good works are not good enough to save you. It doesn't add up. Every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That means body and soul. Death means the physical body that died back in history. And Hades, the souls, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. What's the first death? Spiritual death when you're born. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, you and I have our names written in that book because we believed in Christ and God foreknew that we would. Our name got written in there before we ever came on the scene. All this occurs after the 1,000 years or the millennium. Ungodly men is used here and elsewhere for unbelievers, as per those verses. Ungodly is another technical name for unbelievers. Believers can act in an ungodly way. Believers can act like an unbeliever. Obviously they do. But this is technical for ungodly men. People who have not even have not made the salvation adjustment. So that's the way Peter and others use this particular term. We refer to the ungodly. It's like a synonym for unbelievers. I'll give you one here, Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work for salvation, I added that. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. When a person gives God, so to speak, when they give him faith in Jesus Christ, credited to their account is righteousness. It's your pass. You also get eternal life, but you were imputed. See, doctrine of imputation. So I've got plus R. And that's my pass to go to heaven. You got to have something God has. Well, you can't have omnipotence or some of these other attributes, but you can have plus R. Remember, one of the attributes of God, we do a plus R. He's absolute righteousness. People, at their best, are relative righteousness. But you and I have been credited to our account, and that is like, do you have your pass to enter here? Yes, I have plus R. Therefore, I'll be able to inherit the full measure of eternal life. I have eternal life now, and I have plus R now. But I haven't got all the benefits from the eternal life factor until I get my body in that resurrection mode. Or God gets it in that mode. All right, Father, we thank you for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.